Last week we looked at anxiety about today, and today we're going to be looking at anxiety for the future, which is something, again, I know personally I've struggled with. Our challenge for last week was to memorize 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. And I know that you all took those verses home and were diligent. And so what we're going to do is, as a group, we're going to recite what we memorized last week. That was on the action plan of last week, was right? You all did? Okay. We're going to put it up on the screen, but and so we are going to read it together, okay? And then one at a time, I'm going to have you come up individually, and then you can okay. There's anxiety, worry, and freaking out. I'm going to do my best, okay? I'm not going to look at my Bible. I'm not going to look at the screens. I'm going to try to look at you, because truthfully, if I deal with anxiety, I need to be putting God's word into my heart, right? And I know that I do deal with this. So I'm going to do my best, be a little bit accountable here. But let's say this together, can we? 1 Peter 5, 6, and I had to get my first word. You know, it's like a musician getting their first note. All right, let's say this together. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. That's good, isn't it? That's good. And I hope that you take these verses and you start memorizing. I did it because I knew I'd be up here and I'd have to look at you. Okay, but do this. If you struggle with anxiety, we're going to have a whole new verse this week, two new verses that we're going to encourage you to memorize. And I want to tell you, this stuff, getting God's word into our head and then letting it sink down here, really can help. It can be a tremendous benefit for us. We looked at these verses. Of course, we talked about last week how by humbling ourselves under God's mighty hand is accepting our position, our lot, what God has put us. It's accepting our life as it is. And then we looked at casting all our anxieties. And remember, we talked about making a quick toss. Anxiety, helping overcome anxiety, is not about hanging on to it. It's about getting rid of it very quickly. And then we realized that the foundation of anxiety is fear, and how we can trust God because he cares for us. Now, the foundation of peace is faith and trust, and we're going to look into that. Now, if you're new this morning, inside your bulletin, even if you're not new, grab your sermon notes this morning just for a moment. I want to show you, we're going to look at future anxiety this morning. We're going to look at things in the future that cause us to get anxious and worked up, and we're going to look at three popular items that can make us anxious for the future. Three things that are pretty common. And for each one of those, we're going to kind of look at three different aspects for those. One is, can I really trust God in this area? And then the second one is a good small daily decision. What can I be doing on a daily basis to help me in this area? And then the third one is a little segment called Prepped for Battle. And what that is it's a short, kind of a short power-packed verse that if you struggle in this area, you can memorize, so that when anxiety's creeping around or when anxiety really comes on you, you can be prepared for those attacks, those anxiety things that grab us, with a verse that can just be right on the tip of your tongue. So that's what those prep for battle areas are. And so we're going to look at all three of those for each of these popular areas of anxiety. Okay, we're going to start with another wonderful passage of Scripture. This is going to be the passage that we want to memorize for this coming week. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. You can either turn there, it'll be up on the screen. I believe it's also on the top of our sermon notes, so it's right there as well. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Okay, wait, now what world does that guy live in who wrote that? Do not be anxious about anything. Now, the reality is, the real truth is, as a child of God, if we are truly a child in his hand, we don't need to be anxious about anything. Now we choose anxiety, and anxiety comes on us from time to time, and that's a reality in my life, the same as it is in yours. But we need to realize that if all of the things in this book are true about who we are in Christ, we don't need to be anxious about anything. Can I get an amen? We don't need to. It's not saying that we won't, But we need to realize that he wouldn't have put that in there if we needed to be anxious about. We don't need to be, okay? Let's keep going here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. Now, again, prayer and supplication, those are two different types of prayers. That prayer is general prayer. Supplication is specific prayer. We want to pray both ways. Okay, God, general prayer would be, God, help me with anxiety. It's a great general prayer. Specific would be, God, help me with anxiety about public speaking that I'm going to have to do in a couple minutes. No, help me with anxiety about, pick your topic, okay? It's getting very specific. That's prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, that thanksgiving piece is very key in overcoming anxiety. If we can focus on the things that aren't making us anxious, but once in a while put our minds on the things that we can be thankful for, counting our blessings, that actually is an anxiety reducer as well. And then it says, let your requests be made known to God. Now that word request, as we've talked about before, implies submission. I don't present my demands to God. God, I have this anxious thing. Take care of it for me. That's a demand. We don't demand anything from the God of this world, but we request it. What's that doing? It's taking in, again, like in 1 Peter, putting ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Request always implies submission. And then verse 7, which is the beautiful one that I hope we experience, and it was one of our prayers as we came into this morning, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, how many of you would like a little verse 7 in your life? Yeah, the peace of God, that I can have peace when it doesn't make sense. When my life would leave me to anxiety, this is a peace that surpasses understanding. That means understanding exists here. Peace goes beyond that. That I can have peace in a situation when peace shouldn't make sense. It will be a guard. It will be a protection. It will be something that battles for me. It battles in my heart and then in my mind. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love. God, I just want to ask now and just pray that you would be with us during this time. God, specifically, I want to pray that your Holy Spirit would work deep in our hearts again. God, I pray that your peace would overwhelm this place. And I pray, God, that you would adjust anything in our minds that maybe we're looking at or thinking at things in an incorrect way. And I pray that for myself and for all of us. God, I want to thank you that you are working. God, that you're working amongst us. You're working around this city. You're working around this globe, God, in the hearts of your people and in the hearts of people who you're drawing to yourself. Father, we just pray that this time would be glorifying to you, that you would be honored and adored, and God, that the name of your Son Jesus would be lifted up. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Okay, let's look at some anxieties for tomorrow. Future anxieties. We're going to look at three popular ones. You may or may not have dealt with all of these, but I'll guess we've all dealt with at least one of these. And these are the three P's of future anxiety. Getting nervous about God's provision, getting nervous about God's protection, or getting nervous about God's purpose. Let's talk future provision first. This is anxiety over money or things money can buy. Okay, can I really trust God to provide for my needs? Because right now it's a little tight. I'm seeing a bit of red as I look around my checkbook. Can I really trust God for his provision? Luke 12 and Matthew 6 are two great chapters on God's future provision. Let's focus on Luke 12. We're going to look at this a little bit today, verses 22 to 24. Jesus speaking to his disciples. This is answering the question, can I really trust God with my provision, with providing my needs, money or things money can buy? Luke 22, he said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. How many of you, over the last month or so, have really thought, have you considered, have you dwelt on the crow? Have you spent a lot of time contemplating the life of one of the most annoying birds on the planet? No. He's telling us to consider the ravens for a minute here. Okay, let's keep going. Consider. Consider means to think about, dwell on, observe, fully understand. The ravens. I spent a little time considering ravens this week. What an odd thing to consider. Okay, let's keep going. They neither sow nor reap, they have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Okay, I was just thankful for that because I'm thinking, maybe I'm equal with, no, you're not equal with ravens. You are of more value than an annoying bird. Amen? Okay, let's think about ravens for a moment. How do ravens get their provision? Number one, ravens are omnivores, which means they eat both plants and meat. I think we have a picture. There we go. There's one of our favorite birds. They're scavengers, kind of. For the most part, they scavenge around, and they've probably been in your garbage from time to time. Sometimes ravens will eat a humble meal. Sometimes ravens will eat a feast. Certain ravens, depending on where they live and the situation they're in, will constantly have feasts. Certain ravens will always sort of eat humbly. He's telling us to consider ravens here for a moment. Ravens are very versatile. They're very opportunistic. They work hard for their meals, but they're always provided for. They're not overly picky, but they're not the absolute bottom feeders either. Ravens work in groups. Ravens call out to other ravens. They're not greedy. They're not terribly selfish. You've heard the caw-caw, haven't you? They are actually, ravens are calling when food is available, and they're doing that so that the young ravens, who maybe can't scavenge as well as older ravens, can find some food. So they're not terribly greedy. They help their young. So what can we learn from the raven or the common crow? First of all, like I said, we are of more value than the ravens. We need to realize that we have more value in God's eyes than a raven does. Ravens' survival and protection, though, and provision is ultimately and directly from the very hand of God. It is from God's hand that ravens get their provision. They work at it, but God always seems to be providing them with food to eat. We should work hard for our provision. Amen? We should not be lazy. We should work. We should try. We should be searching. We should be looking. We should be always doing our best to find provision for ourselves and our families. Working hard. That's a biblical model. In fact, the Bible would go so far to say if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. We should be working hard, but ultimately trusting God. Our ultimate source of all provision is God Himself. Now, I have seen, like you have, because I can see most of you are well-clothed, and I'm assuming you're decently fed. We have seen God's provision over the years, haven't we? I have. God has been faithful to me over the years, and yet I still needlessly worry about provision for tomorrow. Even though my God has provided for me better than He's provided even for ravens, I worry more about the future than He does. He's saying, consider them. Consider them. Ravens don't freak out as far as I know, although maybe that could cause a little anxiety. I don't know. But they don't worry. They don't store it up. They trust. They simply trust. So what's a good small daily decision that I can be making if anxiety over money is something I deal with? Four words, Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything. What is that saying? Stay out of debt. This is very cross-cultural. I'll tell you right now, debt has become a very cultural norm for us. It's not been the case throughout the history of mankind and throughout the history and the geography of our globe. That's not necessarily the case. I think somebody gave me a piece of financial advice. I'm not a financial whiz, but they gave me a piece of financial advice, and I think it's the best one I ever received. Spend less money than you make. Can I get an amen? Spend less than you make. You want the number one thing? Spend even if it's just a little bit less. Spend just a little less than you make. Our common, what we normally do is to spend just a little bit more than we see. You do it too, just like me. I want to just spend just a little bit more. Or maybe for some of us, I want to spend a lot more than I make. If one thing is just owe no one anything, have no debt. Listen to what Proverbs 22:7 says. The borrower is in bondage to the lender. Does that sound like financial freedom from anxiety? No. The picture is taking us back to actual slavery. That's where he's taking us. When you are in financial bondage because of debt, you become like a slave. You become in bondage to that debt. Now, I don't want to say all debt is the same. I gave two messages two summers ago in the summer of 2010 called The Truth About Money, numbers 1 and 2. You can go back on the internet, summer of 2010. If you're struggling with money and I get into debt, what's good debt, average debt, and really bad debt? Because there's a difference. Okay, and so if you want to know, if money is something you want to know a little bit more about, go back. I just listened to those recently, those two messages on money, because they spoke to me. Even though I spoke them, I was preaching to myself. Okay, so if you want, anyway, don't think that all debt is the same. But what can I do? What can I do if a financial worry, if I worry about God's provision for the future, how can I be prepped for battle? Philippians 4:19. How can I be prepared for that anxiety that's lurking financially? This is a verse I should memorize. Philippians 4:19. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a good verse? Now we need to realize something first. That word need right there, supply every need. That is need by God's definition of need, not mine. Sometimes there's a difference, isn't there? What I need. God, I need this. Well, yeah, you might think you need that. That is God's definition of need. The other thing we must realize is that this was written to the church in Philippi. And the church in Philippi was very generous with Paul. The church in Philippi supported Paul in his mission, one of the only churches to consistently do that. And so Paul was saying, my God will supply every need of yours. And generosity is very key in God's future provision. Being generous with others who are in need is very key to our peace and God's provision of everything that we need. That's very key in that. Again, listen to those messages. I get in depth in those things very soon. So, my belief, what's my belief on money? Very quickly, my belief is if we do things, generally speaking, God's way, it will normally work out. That's my belief across the board. But I think in terms of money, if we generally do things his way, it will normally work out. It's not that we might not have some situations of anxiety, but I think it will normally work out. So what do I think the Bible says about money? I did this onto one sentence. You can't take everything the Bible says, but this is the best. Here's what God says about money, I think. Trust God. Do your best. Work hard. Avoid debt. Give back to God. Be generous. Don't be greedy and always give thanks. Now that sounds pretty easy, right? Should I repeat that again? Trust God, do your best, work hard, avoid debt, give back to God, be generous, don't be greedy, and always be thankful. I think if we generally speaking do money that way, we will avoid anxiety over God's future provision. Generally speaking, but again, and I fall into this as quick as anybody, I can follow culture's way for doing money, culture's path for doing finances, culture's anxiety for future provision, and it probably won't lead me to peace. So I have to do my best to follow God's way. If a raven ever got lazy, greedy, selfish, or picky, it probably wouldn't work out well for the raven. Let's consider the ravens. Let's work hard and trust God for his provision. Amen? Let's go to number 2, future protection. Future protection is the second thing we're going to look at. This is the health, the safety, and the well-being of me and my loved ones. The big problem, and I can tell you I struggle with this with my wife and kids. I am consistently nervous, anxious about the future protection of my wife and my 3 little kids. Consistently. The problem is I often go down the road of worst case scenario. You guys know the worst case scenario road? Imagining, boy, what if this happened? What if this? Oh, man, and my mind starts racing to worst case scenario. Question is, can I really trust God for his protection, and what does that include? Does God's protection include physical protection, spiritual protection, emotional protection, relational? What type of protection does God offer to me as his child? There are so many verses on this, I chose a short one. There's a lot. If you want more, I can give you more. Listen to this one from 2 Thessalonians 3:3. Can I really trust God? But the Lord is faithful. That right there is the key if we can trust him. If God is faithful, we can trust him. He's trustworthy. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. I believe that in Christ we are 100% perfectly protected. I just want to make that statement. I believe we are 100% perfectly protected in Christ. As his children, nothing happens to us that God does not allow. If it happens to us, God has allowed it to happen to us. That doesn't mean we won't have trials. The reality is, as a follower of Jesus, we will have trials. We naturally think protection means avoidance of pain, don't we? We think if we are protected by God, then he will help us to avoid all pain. That's not the reality. It wasn't a reality for Jesus, God's son, and it won't be a reality for us. There are trials. There are painful situations. Those help work things out in us, and they help prepare us to minister to others better. So the reality is we will have pain, but we are still 100% perfectly protected in Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, much of God's protection was a very physical one. We are now perfectly spiritually protected by God in Christ. Perfectly. That means that anything that happens, good, bad, or otherwise, God has allowed for some reason. Now, he doesn't always tell me that reason. He doesn't always get me on the inside. I can't connect every dot in terms of my trials and the good that's going to come from my trials. It doesn't happen. But I can understand very clearly that I am perfectly protected in Christ. Now, what if I struggle with this fear of protection? What if I go down the worst case scenario path often? What's something I can do on a daily basis? How can I make a good daily decision? Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters. I'm going to add sisters because I know some of you ladies struggle with anxiety too. This isn't reserved for men. Okay? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, look at those last four words. Think about these things. Think about things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, or worthy of praise. If I struggle with the anxiety over someone's future protection, I need to reset my mind and think about these things. I can't let my mind wander down the worst case scenario path because it leads nowhere positive very quickly. Have you experienced that? Where you go down, you let your mind go down that worst case scenario path, it'll get very bad very quick. Take control of your mind. Take control of those thoughts. Don't let your mind even go there. Think about these things. These things. We don't have to mentally struggle and climb hills that we're not on. What happens if this? Or what if this? Or what if they do? Or boy, what if this? Oh man, I couldn't imagine being that. I couldn't go. You want to make yourself a freaked out basket case? Let your mind go there. And I've let my mind go there. Keep control of that mind. Think about these things. Luke 12 said, by being anxious, you can't even add a day to your life. You can't even add a moment to your life. You can't add time. God is the determiner of those things. Like we talked about last week, anxiety can certainly take time away from your life, can it? Doesn't anxiety suck you of the very life you're trying to live? But you can't add time by being anxious. It does no good. So how can I be prepared for battle? What's a great verse if I start worrying and freaking out about tomorrow? Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. This verse, by the way, really helped me yesterday. It did. This verse ministered and blessed me yesterday because I freak out on Saturday over Sunday. I do. You shake my hands in the morning and it's cold, and you're like, why are your hands so cold? My whole back row ladies back there, they shake. Why is your hand? Because I'm nervous, because I'm anxious, and I can let Sunday's anxiety get to me on Saturday. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself, and I can tell you on Sunday it sure does. But that's the case with all of us. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Today has enough to deal with, doesn't it? Let's stay here. Let's stay in today. We got enough to worry about now. I love the way The Message puts this. This won't be up on the screen, but just listen to this. Eugene Peterson puts it this way in The Message. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Isn't that good? God has promised me grace and strength to deal with today's issues, but he hasn't promised me grace and strength for the anxiety for something that may or may not happen. He hasn't promised me peace if I start freaking out about what's going to happen tomorrow. That may or may not ever happen. He hasn't promised me that grace or that strength. He said, I'll give you what you need for today. I'll never allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But I can choose not to allow tomorrow's fears to become today's anxieties. I can choose that. I can choose not to allow the things that I'm worried about for tomorrow become today's anxiety. All right, let's go to our third one today, future purpose. We looked at future provision, future protection, now future purpose. This is the questions and the worries that we have. Why am I here? What is my purpose for being on this planet? Do I really have a ministry that God has given to me? What's up with my job? Why is there no fulfillment there? Should I be married someday? What about relationships? What about the future? This is worrying about our life's purpose. Can I really trust God with the purpose of my life? Because maybe right now I'm not seeing it. Let's read Luke 12, 27 and 28. Consider the lilies. All right, this is a little better to consider these than the ravens. Second consideration, though, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Now we consider flowers. The curious thing that I liked about this is Jesus was talking to his disciples about anxiety over clothing. Now his disciples, what was their primary occupation? Fishermen. He was talking to a group of fishermen about fashion. Do you like that? And I started to think, why in the world was Jesus talking to fishermen about fashion? I didn't understand that. Is there something else going on here that doesn't meet the eye? Well, we need to realize that the religious people in Christ's day, they dressed the part, didn't they? The Pharisees and the teachers, they dressed the part. They would have these long fringes that extended off of their coats. This outer court, they'd have these long fringes, and the longer your fringe, apparently the more spiritual you were. Then they had these boxes called phylacteries, and they were metal boxes that had pieces of scripture in them, and they'd be big and broad, and they'd wear them on their foreheads. Okay, there's a fashion statement right there, right? They'd wear them on their foreheads and sometimes on their wrists, and that would tell people how religious they were by the size of this metal appendage that they'd put right on their forehead. And what Jesus was saying, and everybody knew that this person, if they came walking and they had metal here and here and big long fringes, that person had religious purpose, right? That was an important person. And what Jesus was doing, I believe, is he was creating and making and molding a new breed of disciple, a new breed who would truly follow and trust him. One that was not focused on this outward appearance. What he was saying was, don't worry about how other people see you. I will give you purpose. I think we have a picture of a lily. He was telling them, he was telling us to consider these beautiful lilies. Consider the lilies for a moment. Think about wildflowers, but beautiful wildflowers. Lilies have a very natural, God-given beauty, don't they? Have you ever seen a lily trying to create its own beauty, struggling, working so hard to create a purpose for itself that is significant and big and important? Lilies don't struggle. It said they don't toil, they don't spin. What do? They allow God to make them exactly what they were created to be. That's what a lily does. They don't work for it. It's a gift from God to make a lily beautiful and purposeful, just in and of itself. Jesus compared the lily to Solomon. Today he'd compare it to the people of Hollywood. So what was Solomon like in his day? Not all the people in Hollywood, by the way, but some of them. Solomon had the best job, the best clothes, all the wisdom, all the money, and all the power. He was king. He had the best of everything. We try to find purpose, I think, and I believe, for me, I try to find purpose in my job, in my clothes, in my looks, in my intelligence, or in my money. I try to find purpose in things that I can control and I can push forward in. And I think God is saying, you have a natural purpose and a natural beauty that I can give you. And your reason for being here goes beyond what anybody else on this planet can see or observe. Your reason for being here, your purpose, is what I can do in you and then through you. So what's a good small daily decision if I feel purposeless from time to time? What can I do if I have no purpose? Hebrews 4, 9 and 11. Love these verses. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us, look at this, therefore, strive to enter that rest. That's a great sentence. Work really hard at resting. Isn't that great? Strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. We need to work to find the rest. We need to work. That means it's not natural. That means it's not going to come easy to find rest in who God is creating you to be. It's very natural for me to try to make myself be significant. I can tell you I struggle with this even right here in your midst. I struggle with my significance coming from how successful I view Bayside Baptist as being. We can try to find significance in our kids, in our jobs, in our money, in our looks, in our intelligence. We can try to find significance in everything else under the sun. And I struggle with this myself. And he's saying, you know what? Without me, you can't produce a life of real purpose, real significance, or real beauty. But you find your rest in me, and I will produce in you a beauty and a purpose that is as natural as it is for the lilies. As a flower doesn't work to create its own purpose, we don't have to work to create our own purpose and significance and beauty. God does that for us. We can rest in him. Doesn't that sound peaceful? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus when we rest in him. How can I be prepared for battle? What verse can I memorize that helps me when I feel purposeless? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Popular verse. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. We can trust that God has a plan and a purpose for every one of our lives. Amen? He has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. When we receive Christ through faith, what Jesus did for us on the cross, when we trust that he took our sin upon himself, when we become part of the family, when we are born again, when our spiritual eyes are opened for the first time, he gives us and it puts into us a purpose and a plan. We don't always see that plan. We don't always know where we fit, but we can trust that he has a plan for a future and a hope for us and for our lives. Anxiety for the future is very real, isn't it? It's real in my life. Anxiety for tomorrow is real. It's something we all deal with and we all probably struggle with. Again, if this is a major struggle in your life, if it's major anxiety, come and talk to us. If it's normal anxiety like we all have, please do something different this week than you did last week. Maybe that starts with just memorizing those verses. Maybe it's as simple as taking a couple verses and saying, you know what, God? I struggle with this, so I'm going to take and memorize a couple of verses. Maybe that's what it is, but don't do things the same and hope for different results. Let's do some advanced preparation. I'm going to close with Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, what we started with this morning. Why don't we all say this together as we close? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests... The guy with the mic... forgot about being thankful. Let's start over. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's good, isn't it? That's good. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that you have come to give us peace. God, a peace that surpasses understanding. Lord, when we look at tomorrow through our natural earth-driven, fleshly eyes, God, there's reason to be anxious. Life doesn't always present us with the rosiest of pictures, and we can even be anxious when it does. But God, when we truly trust and reside and rest in your faithfulness, God, peace comes on, and we thank you for that. Be with us this week. We love you, dear God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.